We have so many blessings that we can thank the Lord for, and I'm thankful for the sunshine and for the warm temperatures, but most of all, for Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have in Him. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you too. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and take our bulletins and just take a quick look at as far as what's going on and various announcements. We have basically all of our normal activities this week. We have our evening service tonight, and it's a special night. It's the fifth Sunday, so that means tonight we'll be having a time of testimonies and special music and favorite songs. And then after that, we'll be having a meal, a fellowship. So if you want to bring some type of food or drink to share with people, that would be great too. We have a graduation coming up. Lori Draper will be graduating on Thursday, June 3rd, so keep that in mind, and write her a card if you'd like to do that, expressing your congratulations. And then also a note concerning our upcoming Wednesday night series. We're going to be taking a look at various aspects of the Constitution and our statement of belief in our church covenant, and we're going to be looking at some areas of improvement. And so we'll be basically have an introduction to that study this Wednesday, and then begin the major discussion June 9th. And so keep those things in mind. If you're a member, I encourage you to come to our Wednesday nights. And then also want to congratulate Joe Hodges. He's our newest member to Nordville Baptist Church. It's a blessing baptizing Joe this past Sunday night. And so I think that's basically all of our announcements right now. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. And I thank you that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross for us. And I thank you for that death. I thank you that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And I thank you that whoever believes on Jesus Christ has eternal life and their sins are forgiven and they're given eternal life. And I do pray that those of us who have believed, that we'd have a burden and a desire to share that good news with others. And I pray that even people here in the Nordville community would come to know Jesus Christ personally, that they'd be saved from their sins. And I pray that we'd be able to disciple them. I pray that this church would grow spiritually and in number so that even more people would know you close. And so we do thank you for your many blessings. We thank you that we can pray to you. I thank you that you want to know all of our needs and our desires. So I do pray that we'd be praying for one another. I do pray for those that are not with us. I know many people are traveling, and that there are some who are feeling under the weather and any number of things going on. But I pray that you'd help each person individually with their special needs. I even do pray for our missionaries, and I thank you for the Himes as they were with us a couple Sundays ago. I pray that you continue to bless them as they report to various churches. I pray that you'd keep the work there and prove strong. And so many other things that we could pray for. But I pray that this morning that we'd have our focus upon you. Help us not to be distracted by various things, but help us to look to you, the one who is Almighty God, the one who is holy, but yet has loved us with such great love. So we do pray that you'd help us with all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This morning, before we begin our worship portion of the service, the song portion of the service anyway, we want to remember the fact that this is Memorial Day weekend. So is there anyone who has served in our armed services around the world that's a member of our church here this morning? If you could stand, please, I'd appreciate it. Now, and I want to take this very. I want to take Bob. I know you're. So, can you give me about 10 seconds? All right, gentlemen. And if there's any ladies, is there any ladies that have served in the military here? Okay, gentlemen. I want to say from me, thank you. I appreciate your sacrifice, so that we can live in a country where we can worship God freely. And that's what our military is defending around the world, even today. We lose sight of that so easy today. But that is what we are really celebrating with Memorial Day. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, let's begin our song portion of our service this morning with hymn number 25. Hymn number 25. We have a slow pianist on the piano. She just wanted to tell me she was a slow pianist. But that's okay. I told her to play every fourth note, and then you'll be able to keep up. It's not a problem. So we appreciate Elizabeth stepping in to help us over here. Absolutely. And, of course, Verva talked her into it. So, yeah. All right. So we'll start with hymn number 25. Let's stand together as we sing Immortal, Invisible.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. John, chapter 17, in verses 20 through 26. And it says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them.
And take your hymnals again and turn to hymn number 10, O Worship the King. turn over to hymn number 203, And Can It Be? And before we begin to sing this song, as is our custom, we do want to point out that in the second stanza, if you notice the second stanza, the second bar, about halfway through, it talks about, Charles Wesley talks about how Jesus emptied himself of all but love. And while that is wonderful sounding for a Methodist, as a Baptist, we have some issues with that, obviously. We know that though Jesus emptied himself of the voluntary use of some of his attributes some of the time, he did not become less than God. He was still all God when he was here on this earth. He was all man and all God, 100%, 100%. He's the first guy who could truly say he could give 200% of himself and still be 100%. So while we might have some issues with that, and we're going to go ahead and sing it, and if you have some other words that you'd like to throw in there or just drop it out at that point, you can as well, okay? But we do want to point that out. So there is some shaky theology there, but we understand what the truth is behind it, all right? So let's sing hymn number 203, And Can It Be? Amen. Now it's our opportunity to worship the Lord in tithes and offerings. Shall we bow together? Our most gracious God and Father, we do thank you for this day that you have given to us. And even, Father, as we have remembered already this morning, the idea of a memorial, we think of this being Memorial Sunday. We realize that as citizens of the United States of America, a nation that you so profoundly put together, a nation that has, through its history, looked to you and had a desire to honor and glorify you. Father, we recognize, though we appreciate the past, we look at the future, and we realize the need that is in our country. Father, we do not wish to speak about the things that are political in our service this morning, but rather, Father, we look at the fact that we now live as a minority, as believers in Jesus Christ. We are a minority in this country that once turned its face to you. And Father, as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, we ask that you will help us to use the monies that you have so abundantly blessed us with to further the gospel, not just around the world, but across the street. And Father, we ask that you will give us hearts that are overflowing with love to give the truth of the gospel to those who are dying and lost and in need of a great Savior. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have of worshiping you this morning, and it's in your Son's name that we do pray. Amen. To hymn number 206, There Is a Redeemer. 206. back just a couple of pages here, 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. We'll stand together as we sing the last hymn, 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Thank you. You may be seated. We have special music this morning. Thank you.
Amen. How great thou art. The children can go ahead and be dismissed to children's church. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you truly are a great God. You are Almighty God. And I thank you that even though you are so great and so mighty, I thank you that you have chosen to look down upon us as humans, as ones that are so weak and so very sinful. And I thank you that you have chosen to love us, and that you have shown your love in the greatest possible way in sending your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. And we do thank you for that. And I do thank you for your word and for all the things that you tell us in your word. And I thank you, even as we look into the Gospel of John, I thank you that Jesus loves us and that he even prays for us today. And so we do thank you for all these things. Help us to learn and to apply what we learn to our lives. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a little while since we've been in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. We've had basically a two-week hiatus. We've had some guest speakers. And I hope that you've been blessed the past couple of weeks by having those guest speakers come and share with you the things that are on their heart. And what a blessing it was to have the Himes be with us. And we've supported the Himes ever since they went to be on the field in Peru. And what a blessing to have the Himes come and share with us what the Lord is doing in the nation of Peru. And praise the Lord for faithful people like the Himes that the Lord is using to spread the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is for us here in the States to support people like that financially, but also, and perhaps even more importantly, with our prayers. And I hope that you are praying for missionaries that are overseas. And I hope that you're praying for one another. That's a huge responsibility and a privilege that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ to lift up one another in prayer. There's so many difficult challenges that we meet on an everyday basis, isn't there? There's hardships and there's struggles and there's opposition. But you know what? We must never give up. We must never lose heart. And even though that opposition is stiff, and even though it seems as if we aren't accomplishing anything, we must remain faithful, mustn't we? We must remain true to what God has told us in His Word. We must remain true to the God who has called us to spread the good news of His gospel. And then last Sunday, it was a privilege to have Al Pick with us. Do you remember Al Pick and his friend, one of the residents from Shepherd's Ministry, Steve? Wasn't it a blessing to hear what Al had to say concerning the ministry? And what a blessing it was for me Sunday morning to have Steve come up here and to share with us the good news of Jesus Christ. And how he, even though he has some special needs, he truly has been blessed by God in great ways. And he has abilities that he can be used for the glory of God. And I hope it blessed your heart. I know it blessed mine. As Steve shared with us, how a person can be saved by believing on Jesus Christ. And how he quoted those scripture passages to us. And you know, we may think, well, I can't memorize scripture. Okay, and granted, it is difficult. But praise the Lord, look at Steve. And Steve has some mental challenges. But yet, wasn't it a blessing? Even as he thought about that, and it took a little while for it to come to him, but yet he quoted for us wonderful verses that laid out the plan of salvation. How we can be saved from our sins by believing in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for people like that. As we look at people like Steve, truly they have the love of Christ, don't they? Steve loves people regardless of what they look like, regardless of whether he knows them or not. I think Steve really shows the love of Christ in his life. And we can look at people like Steve, and ultimately we want to look at Jesus Christ, and we want to be loving as they are loving. We want to love people regardless of whether they're just like us. We want to love people because Christ has loved them. So I hope that you're praying for our brothers and sisters, the Himes and Shepherd's Ministries, all the people there. I pray that you are desiring that God's work would be going out through the whole world and that souls would continue to be saved and discipled worldwide. What a blessing to pray for one another. And what a blessing it is. I know it's an encouragement in my life to know that people are praying for me. I know that some of you, perhaps many or all of you, pray for me on a regular basis. And what a blessing that is to my life. It's an encouragement. And as we come to the Gospel of John chapter 17, we realize that Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. And Jesus Christ not only prayed for himself, as we see in the first verses, he prayed for himself that he would be glorified and that the Father also would be glorified. But not only did Jesus pray for himself, he prayed for the disciples that had ministered by his side for some 3.5 years. But not only that, as we come to the end of the passage in John chapter 17, if you want to turn there with me, John chapter 17, we come to verses 20 through 26, and Jesus Christ prays for those who will yet believe through their word. Jesus Christ prayed for me and for you, if you know Jesus Christ. He prayed for us. Isn't that wonderful to know that Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago, whenever he was facing what would be the most difficult point of time in his life, whenever he was looking to the crucifixion that would only be really hours away, he was looking at that, and yet who did he have on his mind? He had me and you on his mind, and he prayed for us. What an encouragement that is. And we're going to look at this passage this morning, and we're going to see what he specifically prayed to the Father in relation to us. But you know what? Jesus Christ is even right now interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ cares about us, and he wants the best for us, and he intercedes for us. So what did Jesus pray for us? What was his desire? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we look at John 17, verses 20 through 26. We've already read through the passage, but we want to look at verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Jesus didn't just pray for the disciples who were with him while he was here on this earth. Now, yes, Jesus had a heart of compassion for those who were directly with him during his ministry on this earth. And he did pray for them specifically, as we mentioned, in verses 6 through 19. But then he broadened his prayer to include all who believe because of their testimony, because of their word that they would proclaim. And that includes all of those who have been saved as a result of their proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples were entrusted with a special message, weren't they? They were entrusted with the message that Jesus Christ truly is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And the disciples soon would see with their own eyes what happened to Jesus Christ. Because, as I mentioned, within a few hours, Jesus Christ would be betrayed. He would be crucified. He would be put in the grave, and he would rise again the third day. And the disciples would see all of these things with their own eyes. They would see the resurrected Lord. They would see him ascend to heaven. So they saw firsthand the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died for us, he was buried, he rose again, and that took care of the sin problem. And all that remains is for men and women to believe on Jesus Christ, to trust in what he did for them on the cross. Now, what do you do whenever you have good news like that? Do you just keep it to yourself? Did Jesus Christ say to the disciples, "Well, I'm glad that you know the truth now. Now you can just go about your business"? No. Jesus Christ expected them to tell others the things that they had seen and heard. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, what is often called the Great Commission. We read here in Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So the disciples could not keep this message to themselves. They were entrusted with a precious treasure. And Jesus Christ told them specifically, yes, having gone out into the world, make disciples. And so Jesus Christ really assumed that the disciples would go and tell others what they had witnessed, what they had heard, and they would tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what they did. We read in the book of Acts how the disciples proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. And first of all, it was only to their own countrymen, their fellow Jews, because all of the disciples, they were Jewish. And so, first of all, the disciples proclaimed to the Jews the good news of Jesus Christ, and thousands of Jews got saved. But then as we continue reading on in the book of Acts, what happens? We find Peter, and Peter is revealed, or receives revelation from the Lord. He is told by the Lord how it's not just the Jews that need to hear the gospel, but it is everyone, both Jew and non-Jew, Jew and Gentile. Everyone needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel isn't just for one specific group of people. The gospel is for everyone. And everyone needs to hear the gospel. And so Peter, it took him a little while for this to sink in, but not very long, because soon there was a Gentile that he would preach to, and his name was Cornelius. And Cornelius would be saved miraculously, wondrously, by the gospel. Praise the Lord. No one is unworthy of the gospel. Jesus Christ died for all, and we need to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone, everyone that we can. So we find in the book of Acts that the gospel soon spread like wildfire throughout the whole Roman Empire. Yes, the Christians were persecuted for their faith. And we find early on the people in Jerusalem, because all the believers at first were centered in the city of Jerusalem. But soon there was persecution. And as a result of that persecution, the Christians dispersed. But what did they do as they went to the various towns and regions of the Roman Empire? As they were dispersed, they told people the good news of Jesus Christ. And not only were many Jews saved, but many Gentiles were saved. These are the ones who are saved through the disciples' word. It all began with the original disciples' proclamation, but that's where it began. But then many were saved as they preached the word. And then those new converts, what did they do? They took what they had learned, and then they told it to someone else. And it's just amazing. Thousands and millions through the centuries have believed on Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. And you know what? Really, it'd be amazing to see the chain of people as you have the original disciples. And the chain, it's kind of like a, I don't know how you want to describe it, it's like a ripple effect, really, isn't it? A huge diagram, if we could diagram it out, all the connections of how people got saved through people's testimonies. And ultimately, beginning with that small group of disciples, the gospel has come all the way to us today. And we too have been saved ultimately through the disciples' word, through their testimony of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have believed because of the faithfulness of others, because they told us the good news of Jesus Christ. And ultimately we can trace it all the way back to the disciples' testimony. Now that's incredible to consider the impact of the gospel. The gospel truly is powerful. The gospel is more powerful than anything else on this earth. The gospel is powerful. More powerful than any man-made creation. God does a work, a powerful work through His Word. And that Word is only powerful, really, as it goes out into the masses of humanity. So the question for us this morning, how are we doing? Are we keeping the gospel chain alive? Are we keeping the gospel chain alive? Is the family tree, you've seen a family tree before, is the family tree branching out through us, or are we kind of a dead branch? Is the gospel branching out through us, or has it just kind of stopped with us and we haven't told it and shared it with others so that others might be saved? May we be faithful in spreading that good news, and may God save souls through our testimony of God's grace. And we recognize it is our responsibility and our privilege to spread the good news. It's up to God to save the soul. So are we proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to others and then praying that God would save souls through our testimony? But going back to John chapter 17, yes, Jesus prays for those who believe through the disciples' word. So He is praying for a multitude of people, including us today. What does Jesus Christ specifically ask the Father with regard to us? We look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. So Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father, what did He pray? That we all would be one. He prayed for unity. He prayed for a unity that could only come about through the work of God. an amazing unity. It's not a man-made unity. Here on this earth, we have a propensity, we have the tendency to make our own alliances, to make our own man-made unity. But this unity that Jesus Christ is speaking about, it's not a man-made or a human unity, it is a divine unity. Jesus says that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Now we've seen in the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ speaking of the unity of Himself with the Father. We can go back to John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Jesus Christ emphasized the unity of Him and the Father. We read in verse 28 of John 10, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." We are eternally secure once we believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 29, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." And then what does he say in verse 30? "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. And then flip over to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. And what does Jesus say here? "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." So Jesus is in God the Father, and the Father is in Jesus, who is God the Son. And Jesus made it very explicit here in John chapter 14. Whatever Jesus did, whatever He said, everything that He did and said had been given to Him by the Father. And so whenever you look at Jesus, really you can see the Father. You can recognize who the Father is. Jesus is the perfect revelation of the Father. If you want to know what the Father is like, and really Philip asked the question, show us the Father. And Jesus said, don't you realize that I am the perfect revealer of the Father? So if you want to know what the Father is like, then look at the man Jesus Christ, the one who is God, man, 100%. Yes, there are distinct persons. There's a difference between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father. They are different persons, but yet they are one. And that is something that we cannot totally understand, totally grasp, but yet they are one. One in essence. And so Jesus Christ prayed that we all might be one. And He prayed also that we might be in them, in the Father and in the Son. So it is only as we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are in the Father and as we are in the Son that we can be one, that we can be unified in doing the works and in saying the words of God. And so Jesus prayed for this unity, this oneness, so that something might happen as a result. And what happens as a result of us being unified? Jesus says, "So that the world may believe that you sent me." So as we are unified in God, that's going to be a clear and a bold witness to the lost world. And the world, by looking at us, by our unity in God, they will realize that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He has been sent by God the Father. And so when we live as one in Jesus and in the Father, then the world will take notice. They will recognize the truth that yes, God the Father did send His Son into the world to be the Savior. There is a great need for this oneness. A great need for this oneness among the children of God. There is an extreme need for us to be united in God. United in doing His purpose. United in doing His works and saying His words. Now, what Jesus is not saying here, Jesus isn't saying, well, you all just need to get together regardless of what you believe. He's not saying that. Today there is a tendency of all the churches to say, we all need to get together. Because aren't we all the children of God? That's what people say. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus says, yes, there is unity in God. There is unity in the truth. We must not sacrifice the truth in order to gain unity. Amen. There is only unity in truth. The truth truly does set us free. The truth does set us free. And it is the same truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth that God has revealed to us in His Word. It is this truth that unites us together. We must never give that up. We must never give in to the temptation and all the pressure by those around us and say, you need to just get along and join together with all these other churches. Whenever many of those other churches are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever they are not standing true to the gospel of Jesus Christ and His Word, we must remain faithful to the truth. And as we are united in the truth, that will be a huge and a powerful testimony to the world. Never give up the truth. We continue on in verse 22. Jesus continues praying here. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are. God the Father gave magnificent glory to His Son Jesus Christ. And Jesus now says that He has given the same glory to those who believe in Him. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given to them. Now, God the Father entrusted the Son, Jesus Christ, with revealing who He is. Jesus Christ revealed perfectly who God the Father is. And whenever Jesus Christ did that, and He did that in everything that He did, really, whenever He did that, He glorified not only Himself, but He glorified the Father. And ultimately, I think, I believe the one thing that truly is the most glorious is whenever Jesus was upon that cross. Not only was Jesus glorified in a great way, but the Father was glorified in the greatest possible way. And it's only after Jesus ascended to the Father in heaven, it's only after that ascension that Jesus Christ truly displayed the full radiance of God's glory. And oftentimes that's what we think of whenever we think of glory. We think of radiance, shining glory. And truly Jesus Christ has that right now when he is in heaven. But even when He was on earth, He displayed the Father's glory because He revealed the Father for who He is. And Jesus entrusts this with God's children, with you and I, as we reveal who God the Father is to the world. All of this is centered in the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of who God is and what He has done for us. We notice the end of verse 22. Once again, what is the whole goal of this? Yes, Jesus has given the glory which the Father gave Him. He has given that to us. With what purpose or result? That they may be one, just as we are one. Once again, the gospel, the glory of God, unites us together. We continue on in verse 23. What does Jesus continue praying? I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now, unity in the Father and in the Son isn't something that comes just with no effort at all on the part of us as God's children. It takes work and it takes effort to be made perfect in that unity, perfect in that oneness. It takes work to become mature, to become fully united in God. We have to work at it. But with God's help, with His enablement, that is where we can come. We can work toward that goal. And as we are made perfect in that oneness, as we are made whole in God, then once again, the world is going to take notice. The world is going to know that the Father indeed has sent the Son, and that the Father has loved us even as He loved the Son. So unity in the faith is a sign that the Father loves us. It is a sign of His grace toward us, a sign of His kindness. By seeing us as believers united in God, the world will know that God the Father has showered His love upon us. And I believe God is going to use that testimony to bring many of those lost to Himself so that they might believe on Jesus Christ. Once again, we come to verse 24. We have another request that Jesus makes of the Father. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which You have given me, for You have loved me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus prays. What does He pray? He prays that we, as believers, will be with Him where He is at. so that we may behold his glory. Now, Jesus would soon leave the disciples. He would ascend to heaven to be with his Father. And he wouldn't be physically present here on this earth. He wouldn't be physically present with all those that would believe as a result of their testimony. But just because Jesus Christ isn't with us now, that doesn't mean we'll never see Jesus, because one day we will be together with him. That is what Jesus prayed, and his prayer will be answered, and we find promises in the Scripture that speak to the same effect. One day we are going to be with Jesus, and we will see him face to face. One day we are going to see that glory, that radiant glory that the Father has showered upon him. We are going to see firsthand the love that God has toward his Son. We are going to recognize in the fullest possible way, I believe, that Jesus Christ truly is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of all. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed," referring to Jesus Christ, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Are you looking forward to that day when you can see Jesus Christ with your own eyes? When we can see him face to face? Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." One day, we are going to be with the Lord, and we are going to see his glory. There's a hymn that goes, "What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be." Amen. Are you looking forward to that day, that glorious day when we can see Jesus in his glory? What a blessed hope we have in him. And it's all because of what Jesus has done for us. It is all because of him. We look at verses 25 and 26. The final two verses of Jesus' prayer here. "O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." God the Father truly is righteous. He is altogether holy. The world doesn't know God. The world is incapable of knowing God on its own. The world does not know the Son, Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. And truly the only one, the only person on this earth that has fully known God, the one that has always known God, is Jesus Christ. He is the only one. And Jesus is the perfect revealer of God the Father. Jesus truly knew the Father, and so too have those that have believed on God the Father, who have believed on Jesus Christ. How did you and I, how did the disciples come to know who Jesus is? How did they come to know who the Father is? They didn't come to him on their own. They came to the Father because Jesus revealed to them who the Father is. And Jesus Christ is going to continue to declare his name, the Father's name, to people in this world. He's going to continue to make the Father known to mankind. And I believe, in part at least, this is brought about by the ministry of the Holy Spirit even working through us. The ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ concerning the Father. What a blessed thing that is. And really, what does that result in? It results in the internalization of God's love within the people of God. The love that the Father has for the Son is also going to be in us as believers. That is in us as believers. What a blessing. We are able to love others as God has loved us. And not only that, what does Jesus pray? Jesus prays, not only will the love of the Father be in us, but also that Jesus Christ himself will be in us. Jesus Christ is in us right now, doing a great work in our lives and working through us to reach the world. We've seen so much in this passage. It's really jammed packed full. But what a wonderful thought that Jesus loves us so much, and he has chosen to reveal the Father to us. What a wonderful thought that Jesus Christ died for us. He rose again. And that even, as we see here in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for us. Jesus prayed that we would be one, that we would be united in Him, united in the Godhead, united in the truth. Jesus also prayed that we'd be with Him in His glory. And what a wonderful truth. We have God's love within us, and we have God the Son personally within us. He is dwelling within us. What an encouragement to us this morning, but also what a challenge. Jesus prayed that we might be one, that we might be made perfect in one. Are we displaying this unity in our daily lives? Are we displaying this unity at Nordville Baptist Church? Whenever the world sees us, are they seeing a group of believers united in the person of Jesus Christ, united in the triune Godhead, united in the truth that is the Scriptures? Is the world recognizing who Jesus is because they look at us and see who we are and how we are united? Are we bound together by God's words, by His truth that He has revealed to us? And may we be people of the book. May we be encouraged to read the Word, to absorb it, to let it be reflected in our life. And may sinners see Jesus Christ in our lives. And may we tell them by our words how they too can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. May the gospel chain continue on through us. And may we see many souls get saved and discipled, all for the glory of God. May we live for Him who died for us. And Father, we pray, may we be one in You, just as You and Jesus are one. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would help us, even as we have looked at this passage, I pray that You would help us to be unified in You, that we'd be united in the truth, that we'd have a desire to show the world, the lost world, their need of a Savior. And I pray that many would be saved and that they too would be united in You. And I thank You for the promise that one day, a glorious day, we will see You face to face. And so I thank You for the promises that You have told us in Your Scriptures. I thank You that even right now, Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. We do thank You for who Jesus is and what He has done for us. May we live for Him who has died for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In closing tonight, this morning, we'll take our hymnals to hymn number 366, 366, and we'll sing "I Surrender All." Shall we stand together as we sing?
Surrendered all to Jesus Christ. It all begins with trusting in Him as your Savior from sin, putting your trust in what He has done for you. Are you trusting in Jesus alone for the salvation of your soul? And you know what? Everything changes after that. But yet it's still a difficult road. It's difficult to do what God has told us to do. It's difficult to live the Christian life. Have we surrendered every part of our life to Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do whatever He asks of us to do? Are we willing to go and talk with our neighbor about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to be unified as a body of believers, unified in the truth of who Jesus is and what He has told us to do? Are we surrendering everything to Jesus Christ?
We'll sing on the fourth.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Gracious Father, even as we have learned from your word this morning, we thank you for the reality that we can be united with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we understand the truth of your word, we ask that you will help us to take that good news of Jesus Christ to those who are in need and who are suffering in our world today. Father, we thank you for the freedom that you have provided, and we thank you for the opportunity. Now, Father, we pray for the courage and the boldness to take what we have learned to those who are in need. And it's in your Son's name that we do pray. Amen.